See my Jesus on the cross, the people crying, looking on, a man would think it tragedy. Chains of sins, captivity.
Thank you. All right, I'm going to ask these three teenagers here and those two back there and those two over there to come up and help me with my illustration again. And these three right over here, three right behind them. Y'all are back up here close. Would you come and help me, please, with my illustration? All right. Remember, object, I need you to stand here. You two girls, because y'all are so much better looking than these, you two stand here, and y'all all stand over there. All right. Now, open your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. While you're finding your place, let me say thank you to Brother Sam and Miss Camp for helping their preacher tonight. Some of you don't catch on to little things, but they knew that both the song they sung right after the budget meeting and Miss Lindsay knew the special she sang, those were two of my very favorite songs. So they chose that. I didn't ask them. They chose it to sing it and sang them and led that song just to help me because they know that budget meetings aren't very spiritual. And they're not very encouraging. And I just want to say thank you for your help. Now, I want you to look in your Bible, Romans chapter 5, to the verse number 9. We'll just read one verse tonight and... or two verses, actually. Much more, then being now justified by His blood, verse number 9, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And we're majoring on the word much, words much more. Much more. And last week we talked about the much more of justification. When a person gets saved, more happens than just being able to say, I'm saved. And we talked about those things last week. But it's important that you understand what we're talking about when we say much more. Now, how many young people's this? One. One young person. She's walking like an old person today because of all the games she played yesterday, but she is one. When we talk about justification, that's one doctrine, one thing about salvation. Now, there's two pretty girls here. That's more than one in this good math class. Okay? Two is more. Okay? We have one, we have more. This crowd over here is much more than this. Much more than just more. So when we talk about much more, we're talking about promises and gifts and provision and gifts from God that are ours because of the doctrine we're speaking of, more than just that one thought. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and ladies. Andrew, you smell as good tonight as you did last Wednesday night. Okay. So, you understand the meaning of much more. Last week we talked about the much more of justification. Salvation provides justification for the sinner, and a right standing before God, and much more connected with justification. And we talked about things mentioned in here and in other scriptures that are ours because we are declared righteous. We are justified because our sins have been imputed to Christ and His righteousness has been imputed to us when we accept Jesus as Savior. We're declared righteous in the sight of God. We are justified and much more. Then I want you to look, if you will, at verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So there's the word again, in connection, not with justification this time, but with reconciliation. Another very important doctrine. You see, because of our sin, we are separated from God. Our lost condition makes us enemies to God. An unsaved person has no relationship with God. Why, his prayers cannot even be answered. The only prayer God will answer for a sinner is the prayer of salvation, of calling on Christ to be their Savior. So, justification declares the sinner to be righteous in the sight of God. Reconciliation breaks down the barrier that separates man from God and God to man. And I want to talk for just a few minutes tonight on the much more of reconciliation. The much more of reconciliation. I don't have time to go back and refresh your memory on justification more than I already have, but I just have time to touch a few things on the much more of reconciliation. Father, help me tonight to give some simple truths that will enlighten, encourage, inspire, that'll help us in our daily walk, in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Being saved is a wonderful thing. Our finite mind has not yet comprehended all that is encompassed with the statement, I'm saved. I've been born again. Now God, tonight, help us to grow and learn a little bit more about the much mores connected with justification and now with reconciliation. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse number 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now, both reconciliation and atonement come from the same root word. They have the same meaning. The meaning is the restoration of the favor of God to sinners who have put their faith and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, the atonement and reconciliation are brothers, if you please. One is the cause. The atonement is the cause of justification. The other, reconciliation, is the effect of justification. Because we're justified, we're brought together in Jesus Christ. God and sinful man are brought together in Christ. We're no longer enemies. God is no longer our enemy. He's our heavenly Father. And we're no longer His enemy. We're His blood-bought child. And that comes to pass because of reconciliation, or because of the reconciliation and the atonement. Because of the atonement and our acceptance of it, God is reconciled to us, and we are reconciled to God. Now, reconciliation works both ways. When we reach up to God through Jesus Christ, God is reaching down to us through Jesus Christ. And in Christ, we who were once enemies and afar off are brought together and made part of the family in Jesus Christ. The much more of reconciliation. What are some of the things that accompany reconciliation? What are some much mores of reconciliation? Number one, our fear is gone because God is satisfied concerning the payment of our sins. A person who knows he is a sinner and is lost, knows that he is lost, has to live in fear concerning facing a holy God. I know I did. I don't mind telling you, For a period of time, when I came to that place where I realized I was unsaved, it wasn't whether I was a good boy or a bad boy, I was a lost boy. I was without God and without Jesus. I was on my way to hell, and I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. I'd go to bed at night as a 14 and a 15-year-old boy and think about that and tremble and weep in fear. But when I got saved, God was no longer my enemy. He was my heavenly Father. I came to realize He didn't hate me. He loved me. He didn't want to send me to hell. He forgave me and made me His child and wants to bless me. So our fear is gone because God is satisfied concerning the payment of our sin. I don't have to live in fear anymore. Isaiah 53:11 said, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. When God looks down at me, he sees the suffering of a righteous Christ as payment for my sin debt. And he looks at the righteousness of Christ as compared to the magnitude of my sin. And it's so much more that God says, forgiven. I'm satisfied. Debt is paid. Wow, that's a blessing. Fear is gone. I can go to bed tonight and don't have to fear one second about my eternity because of the much more of justification and the much more of reconciliation. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ran and hid from the presence of God. That's what sin does. Sin causes us to run from God. But oh, when we have been saved, when we're justified and reconciliation has taken place, we can come out of our hiding place because we no longer have to be afraid. We no longer have to live in fear and trembling. Then another much more of reconciliation is this. The fruit of reconciliation and atonement is the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. God does not hold my sins against me. They have been paid for. They have been forgiven. They have been forgotten, blotted out of his mind and blotted out of his book. Romans 3:25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, talking about Jesus, to declare his righteousness for the remissions of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's talking about our sins being forgiven. I could read other passages that tells us when they're forgiven, they're blotted out. They're under the blood. They're put behind him. They're buried in the sea of his forgetfulness. They'll never be remembered again. One of the much mores of reconciliation. Another much more in reconciliation is we enter into a new relationship with God. No longer enemies, but sons of God, no longer living afar off, but drawing near to God. No longer a holy God withdrawing his hand from us, but a holy God reaching out through Jesus Christ to us and receiving us to himself. Listen to the word again. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Not enemies anymore, not afar off anymore, but family and near. May I tell you, you can get as close to God as you want to get. Now the problem is some of you don't want to get close enough. You're satisfied where you are. But I'm telling you, every one of us can live closer to God than we're living. There is no barrier to how close you can live for God except the barrier that you put on yourself. We can walk with him. We can have fellowship with him. We can know him. We can talk with him. Why, he will live in us and lead us and control us if we'll allow him to. There is no limit to how close you can be to God except the limit you put on yourself. Another much more of being reconciled to God is that we have access into his presence. Through the living Christ. We shall be saved by his life. Thank God I'm here to tell you today that my Savior that died for me didn't stay dead. He arose. He arose. He lives today. And the Savior who bears in his bodies the marks of my sin and yours is living tonight at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. He is our mediator. When we blow it, when we sin, He takes His blood and puts it on the mercy seat for us. His blood is a continual cleansing factor. We can confess that sin and He'll blot it out and never remember it anymore. I'm here to tell you, we don't live as close to God as we could. And the sad fact is, most don't want to live any closer than they're living. God wants to be closer to us than we want to be to Him. He paid the price of the death of His Son so we would no longer be enemies, but we could be reconciled to Him. What price are you willing to pay to draw near to Him? We want to draw near to Him with our sin. We want to draw near to Him with our worldly habits. We want to draw near to Him with our worldly ways. We want Him to bless us and disregard His word. But He said, if you'll draw near to Me, I'll draw near to you. You take a step toward God, He'll take one toward you. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about living for Him and living with Him and walking with Him and letting Him have your life and bless your life and use your life. Reconciliation does not make it possible that we have to live afar off. We can live nigh unto Him, close to Him, and He desires to be far closer to us than we're willing to be with Him. Saved by His life. Because He lives, He is my intercessor who presents our prayers to the Heavenly Father. Because He is a living Savior, He is our mediator and great high priest before the Father who continually offers His blood for our sins and keeps us safe and clean in God's sight. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I've used it before. I don't want to ever stop using it because it's such a great truth. The word cleanseth does not mean past tense. It doesn't mean future tense. It's a word showing perpetual action. It means He did cleanse, He does cleanse, He'll keep on cleansing. Every time we need that blood, it's available. He applies it for us. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That keeps our standing with God in heaven right. Then He goes on a couple of verses and says, if we'll confess our sins, He'll be faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's in order to keep our fellowship with Him right. The blood keeps our relationship with God right. Heavenly standing. Confessing our sin keeps our relationship with Him so that we can continue to walk with Him. We can have fellowship. You see, when a Christian sins, we don't lose our sonship. We lose our fellowship with God. Now, our sinning down here as Christians does not do away with our standing in heaven in Christ, because the blood keeps that right. We're still sons. We don't lose our sonship. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We lose our fellowship because we don't confess our sins. We lose our joy because we don't confess our sins. We lose our youthfulness because we don't confess our sins. Our living Savior provides for the believer a complete atonement and reconciliation that provides everlasting life on the merits of Christ's work for us. You know what salvation is? Salvation is simply acknowledging our inability because we're sinners and putting our trust completely in the finished work of Christ for our salvation. And He saves us. And much more. Much more. There's three more much more verses in this chapter. And the other three times they deal with the same thing. And we'll do a quick review next week and finish it up much more. Father, thank you for our people. Thank you, Father, for them.